you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
I'm sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump Hotel and home of this podcast. You could find us online at facebook.com/gabpod. You know you'll find the right page when you see the photo of Trump and Linda and Vince and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon with a giant Festival of Friendship logo over the face of Shane McMahon. That's our page. That's how wrestling is in 2017. That's how life is in 2017. Truly a Festival of Friendship. This has been a week.
Yeah.
Inconsequential week for wrestling?
Pretty much. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We haven't quite hit the fast lane yet, and there's no roadblocks in the way, but it is kind of the middle period here.
And definitely the quietest week of the Trump administration thus far. We're only 36 days in. It is Saturday, February 25th at 10:45 in the morning, which means by the time this comes out, we'll be at war with a new country.
Well, at war on Twitter.
We'll be at war
Twitter fingers, man. Twitter fingers. So it was a big news, I guess, a big week for fake news, and you wrote about this about a week ago.
I wrote about this a week ago, and it was right, so we recorded the show, the last episode, the day of the news conference, which you did not watch.
Yes.
And I said, you need to watch it, because this is canon now. It's not as good as Raw, or sorry, it's not as good as SmackDown, but it's better than Raw. You need to watch every news conference. So I did watch it, and I noticed a few things that no one else was picking up on, and they're the important things. It's pretty much Trump needs an opponent. Our new opponent is the media. It's that simple. Every good wrestler needs someone to push back against. Hulk Hogan needed Andre. Hulk Hogan needed Piper. Without them, what do you have? You have nothing. You have Giant versus Hogan. I'm reading the WCW book right now. I apologize. So it doesn't make sense. No one will buy tickets. No one will care. The media is the perfect opponent for Trump, and his 75-minute plus press conference was perfect to set up that feud.
Yeah,
it's that simple. That's all available in our roll call article. Go to youmethemeverybody.com, unless it's been hacked, which is the Russians are trying to hack me right now, and that's not a joke. Chris, we'll get to this later, but Chris was very helpful in our WordPress site. Our sites are still up. You could still find the book. Amazon.com has not been hacked. Our book is still available.
Donald Trump is at wrestler.com, presidentwrestler.com.
So anyways, yeah, that's the op-ed. Go to youmethemeverybody.com to find it there, because if you search through roll call, good luck. It is not the easiest site to navigate, but if you search Brandon Weatherby and roll call, you'll find it. It'll be there.
But then after you wrote that, you were like, bye, America.
Going to Mexico.
Yeah. How was Mexico?
CMLL is my favorite company. Yeah. They're the WWE of... I think they're better than TNA. The WWE of Mexico. I went to the famous Arena Mexico, the oldest arena for Mexican wrestling, for luchador wrestling. And it was amazing. I have a few notes about this. I don't want to get too far about it. I don't want to get too far down the hole, because there's just so much good. You need to go. You need to go.
I'm working on it.
If you could figure out a way to get to Mexico, you might be able to fly from D.C. to Mexico, stay for 3 nights, go front row seats, and it'll still be cheaper than buying regular pay-per-view good views for, like, SummerSlam.
Right.
It's that cheap and that good. The crowd is incredibly supportive. It's probably half dumb Americans like myself, but if you care about this stuff at all, it is so much more fun. It is so much more in-ring storytelling. Yes, it's sexist, but it's sexist on both ends. Yes, it's homophobic, but the most over guy in the entire company is Maximum Sexy, and he's a big, fat gay man that everyone wants him to kiss. So he's the best. The moral of the story is, in Mexican wrestling, you could be progressive and gay and be the top face, but not in America. In America, you have to be the son-in-law of a person in the Trump administration.
And
to
that's
be the
why
most
we're building that wall, yeah.
God damn it. So another thing I love about the Mexican wrestling, how it really relates to us, is I was not there when Sam Adonis was wrestling.
Okay.
Is Sam Adonis his name?
I believe, yeah.
I think it's Sam Adonis. We talked over Twitter. He was in Florida. He was on vacation. He's the wrestler you might know if you listen to NPR or read the Washington Post. He's got a whole I'm pro-Trump gimmick. That's it. He wasn't there. So there wasn't any real politics there, but there were some legal issues all over the arena, which I adored. So the flyer for the show spelled half the wrestlers differently than the in-ring entrances and what they're actually billed as and is actually on the t-shirts, because these guys aren't necessarily loyal to the company. Unlike the WWE, you can see most of these guys in AAA, in Lucha Underground. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see Kevin Owens at the Indies this year, unless something goes horribly wrong or right. But that's the interesting aspect of it. The legalities makes it a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. Is it better for the guys? I don't know. Yeah. But this is just how it's always been.
Right, because the Mexican promotions typically own the gimmick. They own the mask, the character. So that's why they've, through history, you know, you have the famous one, I think, is like La Parca, and he started doing stuff with WCW when AAA had an agreement with them in the 90s. And then he probably lost a lawsuit or something, and he started going by LA Park.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't use the La Parca gimmick anymore, but he was the same guy, same idea.
It's a lot of tradition. It's a lot of, like, the Son of Santos is still wrestling in some places. Blue Panther is still wrestling in some places. It's not like these guys don't have long careers. No headshots, seemingly. I didn't see any high. There's a lot of high-flying stuff, but it's a lot safer, it appears. The gimmick that they seem to go for the most now that was not in existence, I'd say, 20 years ago, is every single match now ends with almost the mask getting ripped off, and they'd literally rip the mask. So I guess that's their chair shots at the back, where now we're just, that's just how it is. And it wasn't like that 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. We're just used to it. So it's interesting to see them evolve at the exact same time. And it's interesting to see, like, oh, this guy's, none of these guys are going to be in the WWE. Not one of these guys.
We're there. Well, you know, sometimes they do.
Just in terms of size.
Guys, oh, yeah, yeah. And guys on house shows at CML, probably not. But, you know, they have gotten guys. Graham Metalik just made his debut.
I went to TV taping, to be fair.
Okay.
So this is, like, who you're going to see. Maximo Sexy, though, holy shit, he's got everything.
Yeah.
He's got, this is maybe what they were trying to do with Goldberg. Or, sorry, Gold Dust. I prefer Goldberg to Gold Dust, whatever. Oh, man, I would love a Maximo Sexy Goldberg. That's my dream match for Mania.
Yeah, maybe you'll get it. I'm on here on the fast lane to WrestleMania. As we are on that fast lane, there's just a couple things. We should probably start with wrestling stuff. I think Raw was, for our purposes, the most interesting it's been in a while.
It was, for the first time maybe since SmackDown Live existed, a more entertaining show, at least the 90-minute Hulu version.
Yeah, I think the 3-hour still is unwatchable. But, you know, the main things, it is Black History Month. And the WWE likes to tribute that by having, I think we talked about this last time, having their black superstars read Wikipedia entries direct to camera.
Ugh.
It's so painful. But this week, they did a tribute to President Barack Hussein Obama, which was great. He hasn't been on the program since like 2008, you know. So it was good to just get one more time in. But they talked about how inspiring a leader he was. And it was very like PR written. But painful to watch them like have to do this stuff.
This is not in the 90-minute Hulu version.
Yeah, I didn't put in 3-minute Raw. It's, you can watch it on YouTube. It exists. But even more for our purposes, so there's a storyline right now that they don't have an opponent really, and we'll get to why. But the New Day, one of the best tag teams in WWE, they're currently trying to build an ice cream machine for the WWE. For the fans. And last week, 2 weeks ago, they had their opponent ripped up their blueprints, and they act like they had just been shot. And this week, they came out, and they did this.
We went digital, baby! Secured and encrypted with 3-process authentication, which means only the New Day can get hands on it.
That's right.
You mean these plans?
We're talking about real plans.
Real plans.
Real plans.
Real. Real plans, yeah? Oh, let me read some. One little flux capacitor.
She got the plans. How did she get the plans?
You know she's Russian, right? All right, chill.
She's a hacker.
Yeah, so they made a Russian hacking joke, which if you try to find that clip on YouTube or on Hulu or eventually on the WWE Network, will not exist.
Yeah, thanks to Chris. You can watch it. Go to facebook.com/gabpod. because every week Chris does 3 minute Raws. This is a big part of 3 minute Raw.
Yeah. No, that whole segment, and just I love the real plans thing. Just when we've been saying fake news over and over again, them doing real plans. I mean, they knew what they were doing. And, like, obviously Big E and Kofi and Xavier have done this stuff consistently. Sometimes it does get cut when they fly a little too close to the sun like that. But, I mean, also, we noted a few months ago, like, in one of his rambling promos, Enzo made a reference to Russian hacking. Mm-hmm. So, but this one definitely got a pop from the crowd. And they had to cut it.
I think it's easier for Enzo to get away with certain things because he talks so quick. Most people don't even pick up on it. He doesn't really pause for the joke, unlike Big E, who is an actual entertainer who could pause for a laugh line.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Because he doesn't, yeah. I mean, just a small wrestling note. Kaz and Enzo are so, like, I mean, they're probably going to win the belts. They're probably going to, like, lose at the next pay-per-view and win them in Orlando because they were big NXT guys and stuff. But they are so not over right now. Enzo, after they got they beat Sheamus and Cesaro. That's not their names. Sheamus.
No, that is their names.
I did it. I thought I did Cesaro. Like, okay. I've said their name together so many times. It doesn't sound like words anymore. But Enzo kept saying, like, got the kryptonite. And then Sheamus booted him in the face and got a thank you Sheamus chant. So the fans do want Sheamus to kick Enzo in the face.
Oh, jeez.
New Day does not have an opponent, and they're in this. They're making chicken salad out of chicken shit right now because they will be hosting WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
I know. So that was broken.
Actually, why not? Fuck
why
it.
Why not? You know what? Last year, they've already peaked WrestleMania. They came out last year out of a box of cereal, like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids size box of Booty-O's cereal. They had a garbage match that they lost for some reason to one of the guys not even in the company anymore. And then they danced with Shawn Michaels and
Mick Foley.
Stone Cold and Mick Foley. And then they all got stunned, or at least Xavier got stunned, and like someone ate some super kicks.
There was no reason for this to happen.
Right. I mean, they totally got kind of buried, but at the same time, they loved. It was like that was one of the most fun things of a pretty bad Mania. So this year they're hosting because, right, honestly, the card is like so stacked. There's no real room for them. They're not in a feud. So why not let them come out, do backstage segments, do something with The Rock, do something with maybe like guests who are there, like Hulk Hogan. Because that's the rumor is that, and that's the connecting the dots, is that you have your three black superstars are going to have to put over Hogan as not racist in the middle of the ring clean, brother. So let's hope. It's been going back and forth whether Hogan will be back in time for Mania or not. But he's clearly angling for it. This kind of makes sense. They did this last year with New Day at the Hall of Fame. They had to bring out the Freebirds, who are famous for wearing Confederate flag makeup. They had to put them over. So they kind of, once again, like the Black History Month stuff. Hey, we're not racist. Look what we make our black employees do.
So the last time there was a WrestleMania host was in New Orleans at the Pontiac Silverdome. No, sorry, brother. Hogan.
And Hogan didn't know where he was.
Forgot where he was.
Flashing back.
He thought he was still body slamming Andre the Giant, and he body slammed him all the way from the suburbs of Detroit to downtown New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, it's not in the Silverdome this year. It's outside in Orlando, right? It's outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been there before.
Yeah.
Sun Life? No, I feel like that's Miami.
No, I thought that was Arizona. Is this the venue where Undertaker's fireworks lit a bunch of people on fire?
Maybe. Here's hoping.
Okay, so anyways, that's not the worst position for New Day.
I think it's fine. Hopefully they don't have to put over Hogan. Hopefully they just get...
You know they're going to have to put over
Hopefully
Hogan.
They get to do some of the stuff. So, I don't know if you watched this, the WWE 24 about last year's Mania.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So their original idea for, instead of coming out of the box of cereal, was to come out in a van that was styled as a unicorn, right?
I don't remember this.
It was a butt. It was a butt. There was going to be butt, like, on the back of the van, like two cheeks on the door. I'm doing this visually with my hands on a podcast. So a cheek on each door. They're going to back this van up, open the butt cheeks, and they were going to come out on, like, unicorn bicycles. And Triple H was like, yeah, that sounds good. How about a box of cereal? And they were like, yeah, let's do that. That's fine.
Man, if they did the butt thing with Maximo Sexy, that's what I want for this year's Mania.
I'm just not even going to make any jokes on that. We're going to go move on to what happened after Raw, which is just kind of bizarre.
This is part three of Raw.
Yeah.
None of which was on the Hulu version.
Well, this wasn't on Raw.
I understand this, but okay. It's Raw Jason.
All right. Raw Jace. So after Raw was done filming, after it went off air, they're in LA, they're at the Staples Center, and The Rock comes out. And because The Rock is producing a movie called Fighting With My Family. It's based on a documentary about Paige, WWE superstar, and her family of carnies, who are essentially, we can't say gypsy, but can we say traveler?
You could say, why not gypsy?
That's a slur.
Is it a slur?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the big one, but it's a slur. You're not supposed to use it.
Okay.
Okay. So they're like travelers.
They got a lot of frequent flyer miles.
No, they
frequent, don't take it.
They drive.
They drive everywhere and they rob people.
Wow. Well, now that's that. You said that, Brandon. Now the gypsies are going to hack.
I'm not really worried about Paige coming after. I think she's got bigger problems
right
now.
Yeah, cocaine. So they're making this movie of Paige's, you know, rise through the world of wrestling. It's a legit movie. Stephen Merchant of the other guy in The Office or behind The Office is writing and directing it. They got Nick Frost and one of the people from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So The Rock comes out and they're trying to keep the crowd there. So he's heating them up and cutting a promo and all this stuff because they're going to film the final scene of the movie, which was when Paige beat AJ Lee, mm-hmm. the wife of CM Punk, on her first night in the WWE to win the title. So they did this match. They do the intro music for two wrestlers who are currently not really. One of them is definitely not in the WWE. She is retired, mm-hmm. AJ Lee. One of them is an indefinite suspension and probably going to be fired as soon as she's healthy in Paige.
Yeah.
So they cut their music, and then they have two people who don't look like them come out. Like AJ is, she's Hispanic, but they bring out Trinidad, who's a like not Hispanic.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if she's like in Samoan. I think she's like, because Rock was trying to big her up, but she's supposed to be AJ. And then they bring out the actress who's wearing a bad wig to play Paige. They do their match and they're just getting booed the whole time because like he definitely prefaced it like this is for a movie, blah, blah, blah. He called CM Punk. Like he was like, let me see if Punk's awake. So he tried to call him on the cell phone and be like, hey man, we're here. We got 20,000 people chanting your name because they're doing CM Punk chants. He's like, you know, I got a wrestler playing your wife. Talk to you later, man. And then and they do the scene. And then, of course, like the actress playing Paige comes out and she was replaced by Tessa Blanchard, daughter of Tully Blanchard, one of the Four Horsemen, to do the actual match. But the fans, they're going to have to like overdub it because they just need the bodies in the stands for the scene. But the fans were like, what the fuck is this? Okay. What is this fake shit?
Wait a second. I thought you meant like, okay, so I didn't listen to anything about this. I didn't read anything about this because I wanted you to explain it. I thought he called out CM Punk, like, I'm going to wrestle you.
No,
he literally
called him on the phone. Hey, Punk, what's up? It went to message. And then, like, I think Punk this week tweeted something about, like, good to see, you know, thanks LA or something like that. Because it was after, yeah, it was like West Coast time. It's late. East Coast time or Chicago time. So,
we don't have Central time in Chicago. We have Chicago time. So
Chicago.
I was hoping that
time.
He called them out, being like, "Oh, we're gonna. This will be the 34 headlining match."
See, you got your hopes up.
I got my hopes way too. I was in Mexico and I saw this email.
Happened.
I was so excited. I thought Maximo Sexy was around.
Unfortunately, no. But yeah, that's how Raw closed, and it was just a bizarre
weird.
Them doing a fake match. In a fake sport and then replacing the fake actress with a different wrestler who's actually like, that's why Tessa Blanchard is not probably in NXT is because she's filming this. Tessa Blanchard, who is dating an indie wrestler, Ricochet, also Prince Puma on, he is Prince Puma on Lucha. She's not like cheating around on him. It's not like when Stardust was having sex with Cody Rhodes' wife. But anyway, so Paige and AJ Lee, neither of them in the company. But thankfully the company still has an AJ. I'm so excited for AJ Styles on Talking Smack. So yeah, on the best show the WWE makes, Talking Smack.
This week says, I want to say a 25-minute edition, and then around minute 22, 21. So you got to watch the whole thing.
You know, so basically AJ had been talking shit about Daniel Bryan, and this is how Daniel Bryan fired back.
I have a cold. I'm kind of dumb.
Right. Hey AJ, do you want to talk about how you think the earth is flat?
Do you want to talk about how your feet are flat?
They are flat. But like he legitimately thinks the earth is flat.
I do not think the world is flat. I'm just saying there's some stuff about it.
He's a flat earther.
I'm not
a flat
earther.
So he wants to say that I think slowly.
Okay.
The earth is a sphere.
Okay.
Axis.
What?
Runs on an axis.
Okay. Good. I'm not a flat earther. I'm just saying. There's some things about it that make sense. I don't think you can handle it.
I just want to say the Galilee community.
The gay community.
Is that our alternative facts are still real to me, damn it?
Alternative facts are
still real to me, damn it!
He's not a flat, like the earth isn't flat, but they make some good points. They make some valid queries.
God damn it.
So he's joining like B.O.B. and Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving, B.O.B. and AJ Styles. That would be a really great triple threat match.
Yeah, we'll see them at Mania. That sounds great. The flat earthers. But yeah, that's, and I have to say,
you know,
say,
if this, I'm reading that WCW book, which I highly recommend.
Death of WCW?
Yeah, it's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I've read it. It's crazy.
I'm right in the section where they talk about Dennis Rodman. If this was WrestleMania 20 years ago to compete with WCW, I wouldn't be shocked if it was B.O.B., Kyrie Irving, and AJ Styles.
Yeah. WCW would just, yeah, pay.
Versus
pay
men slippers. Who actually went to college in a the world is flat versus the world is round match.
Listen, you got to listen to both sides.
No,
there's
you
real facts. There's alternative facts. You got to listen to both sides. Speaking of, it's good you brought up Dennis Rodman. So one of the things, not on our outline, but one of the other things that's happening at Mania, or was supposed to happen, one of the reasons the New Day is relegated to hosting, is they've been promoing since last year's WrestleMania a Big Show versus Shaq match, because they're in Orlando. He's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Was on the Magic, all that stuff. And Big Show has gotten in great shape.
He looks great.
Yeah, he had a great match. Probably the best match, and maybe one of the best matches he's ever had on Monday night against Braun Strowman.
Yeah, it's weird that that Big Show closed Raw in 2017, yeah. And he was getting cheers.
Yeah.
Not retire, but
well,
cheers.
That's actually what caused him to fight for this match and to go back and get in shape, because last year, if you remember, he was getting like please retire chants. And it actually, he's like the giant with the heart of gold thing. Like he was, because he's a real person, he was like, oh, that sucks that they really don't like me anymore. They want me to retire. So he's in great shape of his life. And had this great match with Braun Strowman, another huge guy. Braun Strowman's out there doing chain wrestling and kip-ups.
It was so weird.
Which I knew he could. He said he could do that on Jericho's podcast, but he was waiting to unveil it. This guy's going to fucking pull a moonsault one day, and everyone's going to lose their shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so Big Show and Shaq, Big Show is now calling out Shaq because he's getting in great shape, and Shaq's doing Gold Bond commercials and eating Krispy Kreme, and we're now about a month and a week from WrestleMania, and they haven't done anything with the storyline. So either we're getting worked into a shoot, and it's still happening. I think it's strange that if it is still happening, Shaq hasn't been on Raw. They haven't really done anything. They're keeping Big Show in like a good position on the card, but they've brought him out a couple times to still be
the easy
big
thing
guy.
You could do with this is just have Big Show win the Battle Royale again, and then have Shaq come out, and maybe the blow-offs at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like if you're not going to do it Mania. With a celebrity.
I understand that, but is Mania already sold out? Does Shaq move tickets? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those, it's a weird thing. So we'll see if we're being worked some more or if they're trying to come up with some way to force him to kind of do it, actually call him out, see if anything happens. But it's interesting because, yeah, Big Show, who probably wants his last Mania match to be a memorable one. But I'm of two ways, because if he doesn't get that match, then we get an actual match with wrestlers in it, with other Shaq not being a wrestler.
Or you just throw Shaq in the battle royal again. Because you could do that without him being in shape, and then you still get the pop.
Yeah, you get whatever you got last time when he was a surprise and came out to a designer. So that's the world of wrestling this week. And then into the world of politics.
So is this the big show of the week? Is this the big story of the week?
I guess so.
All right, here's our big show of the week.
Well, it's a big show.
It was CPAC week. Here in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
Not in Washington, D.C. It was at National Harbor at the Gaylord, which I got a kick out of because I hope it made them feel uncomfortable.
So I went to the National Harbor a few weeks ago for the first time.
Yeah.
It is on par with a Vegas-style hotel. It's massive.
Right.
I would not be surprised if there's another pay-per-view in D.C., if there's not auxiliary programming at the casino like they used to do in the 80s.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's close enough. A lot of wrestling fans have to drive because they have children. It's a 10-mile. It's only 10 miles away, but it's like an hour drive.
It's the worst.
I completely would see a wrestling event happening here.
Yeah. So CPAC is the conservative political action committee, I believe. Mm-hmm. Big, all the conservatives, Republicans, whatever, all in town, or outside of town. And you were comparing it to, and this I think is a good comparison to the old NWA. The meetings that all the promoters would have. where they come together.
You know more about this than me, but let me know if I'm getting this wrong. From pretty much the start of wrestling in the territories until Vince McMahon, they would have meetings with all of the head promoters to determine who had the actual belt, who had the real belt.
Yes.
And there was a few occasional belts that just stay within promotions. But like that's why Ric Flair, even though he wasn't wrestling everywhere in the world, most places, but not everywhere, not every territory, was considered the champ. He was decided by all of the bookers.
Yes.
That's what CPAC is.
It's all the territories coming together.
Kind of.
And picking their...
picking either their matches. They used to have a straw poll. Okay, so the last time Donald Trump made an appearance at the straw poll, Rand Paul won.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Donald Trump. Last year, Donald Trump did not go, and when his name was brought up, he was booed, and Ted Cruz won the straw poll. This year, Donald Trump spoke and is currently the president of the United States of America.
Yeah, and there was, if you wanted to support Donald Trump, you could wave a little flag that some people distributed that were Russian flags with Trump's name on them.
Well, yes. So some Democrat, some liberal trolls got in.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I skimmed his remarks to see if there was anything good. I mean, it's once again, keeping this feud with the press, the fake news. The day after his speech, they had a scrum and they, the New York Times.
No, not the day after, the day of.
The day of, after, I mean, just like after it.
Yeah, he spoke around, I want to say 11 a.m. and then the scrum thing happened around 2 or 3 p.m.
So it was CNN, BuzzFeed, New York Times, correct?
LA Times and New York. There's one other. Okay. Politico? Did you say Politico?
No.
Politico.
They were all out.
Yeah.
All the networks, the other networks were in. Washington Times, Breitbart, One America, conservative outlets were in.
So there's a few things about this. This isn't that crazy, but to individually say no, 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 no to these five, that's a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically having, doing what he's...
Yeah, having these scrums is incredibly normal. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
yeah. So you know how every week the WWE announces who's going to go in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And they're going to give an exclusive to Rolling Stone and they're going to give an exclusive to Sports Illustrated. That's what the Trump administration is doing, except for the publications and the news outlets aren't as reputable as who the WWE leaks to.
Yeah. The New Day News was on TMZ. Which is more of a news outlet than Washington Times or Breitbart.
This is really weird. While this was happening, I texted you this. Mm-hmm. I was watching CNBC.
Right.
And the head of the WWE, the CFO, the chief financial officer, not Triple H, was on the CNBC network talking about the WWE stock prices.
Wonderful.
This is a wonderful world we live in.
Wonderful moment. You know, and I think the clip I want to play is just someone who was having a really good time was Kellyanne Conway on Hannity's show at CPAC.
Had an incredible first month with President Action, President Impact, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think she's been doing this President Action, President Impact thing before. I'm waiting for President Total Nonstop Action.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, but I think we're definitely in the TNA of presidencies right now. Yeah. There's a thing that reminded me of this as well, which was the Steve Bannon duo interview he did with Priebus. Did you see this?
No, I'm not going to watch.
Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Okay. The total deconstruction.
The third, broadly, line of work is what is deconstruction of the administrative state.
We all know this. Donald Trump's entire gimmick from, I'd say, 13 through 15 was Zeb Coulter.
Yes.
Now he's... We don't know who he is yet. He might be having something original, which is very rare for wrestling. Yeah. Bannon owes Matt Hardy some gimmick infringement money here.
Definitely.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Yeah, I think the Hardys on their tour for the gold should come after Priebus and Bannon. I think that's going to draw some eyes to TNA, brother. Someone who wasn't at CPAC.
I'm just watching that match in my head right now. I'm so happy.
Well, you do that. I'm going to have to get through this crap. Someone who wasn't there was, is it Milo?
Milo wasn't there.
Yeah,
so,
Yiannopoulos. Bad Greek.
Let's just get through this really quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically he, you know, he's a right-wing troll, worked for Breitbart, does all this, he got banned from Twitter, which is really hard to do. But this week, right before CPAC or at the beginning of CPAC, some old interviews kind of came to light where he was saying that people get hung up on this abuse stuff, that young boys discover who they are through relationships with all their men. He joked that if it wasn't for Father Michael, I would have given less good head. He said that that consent is arbitrary and oppressive idea. He kind of joked about having sex with people as young as 13.
Whatever, he's a troll. That's what they do.
Well, yes, but apparently that's the bridge too far for CPAC, for Breitbart, for his book publisher.
Okay, so let's go in order. For CPAC, he was asked to speak, and then that was rescinded.
Yes.
For the book deal, they said, no, we shouldn't do this. This is after months and months and months of authors saying, I'm not going to work with this book publisher unless
Simon
they
Schuster,
do something.
Yeah.
And then the Breitbart job finally happened this
week.
He
quit, so yeah, he jumped on, he fell on his sword for them.
The Washington Post has some good quotes from the editor saying, like, yeah, he was never really part of it. But he brought a lot of ice to the site. So he was never a reporter. He was a columnist. Totally different things. What Chris and I do, well, you know, you're an actual reporter sometimes, but what I do for these roll call pieces, I'm a columnist. Right. I'm not going and asking Trump about his thoughts about TNA, even though he would love the company. Him and Dixie would get along famously. Yeah. So that's the difference. Milo is a columnist. That's all it is. He's a paid talking head.
Right. But he's been doing all this stuff. Whatever, I mean, obviously this stuff is reprehensible, but he said... His whole career, everything he said is reprehensible, even for most conservatives. But
that's the gimmick.
Yes, but since he does get eyes on the product, until this one, they were able to kind of profit off of him and this kind of mutual.
So why are you bringing this up? How does it relate to wrestling?
Unfortunately, it does relate to wrestling because in the mid-90s, the scandal that everybody who kind of has a passing knowledge of wrestling knows is the steroids scandal. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a week or two ago. Vince McMahon, and the doctor who was kind of working with them, handing out steroids like candy, federal trial.
Yeah, Linda McMahon warned him, like, hey, watch out.
Oh, yeah, that time that she...
the member of the Trump administration, Linda McMahon.
When she said the feds are listening.
Yeah.
Like, throw out your paperwork. But overshadowed in this, there was other scandals in the early 90s that really just made the tabloid press... In January 92, they started reporting on rumors of a sex scandal involving these ring boys, which were basically just like local youths who would like help set up the ring and maybe like sell popcorn or whatever and bring the wrestlers' bags to the back or whatever. And there was three WWE employees who were accused of like sexual abuse and harassment of these kids who were like preteens and teens. And one of them threatened to sue. But he sat down with, and he said he had been abused kind of in the 80s. This is about a decade later. And he sat down with the lawyers, with the McMahons, and got a small, like, what,
$150,000
back pay and his old job back. And Vince McMahon would go on to rebut the charges on Larry King Live, Phil Donahue.
We recommend watching that Donahue episode. I think it's a Daily Beast?
Or Daily Motion.
Daily Motion. I always fuck that up. But it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So,
and it was definitely, but this was definitely the tabloid and tabloid TV show era where Vince would go out and do this stuff publicly because at that point he was just a wrestling promoter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the two of the guys, Mel Phillips and Terry Garvin, were fired. Pat Patterson, who was not really implicated in this, but there's always been rumors about him. Pat Patterson's been openly gay, but like quietly since like the 70s. And there's issues with him with consenting adults. So he kind of he resigned for a while, but then he'd be back a couple years later behind the scenes and then on screen too in the 90s during the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And he's still kind of an advisor for McMahon. But yeah, a scandal that not a lot of people know about, of another one of the kind of dark sides of wrestling. Everyone kind of thinks of the coke and steroids and, you know, Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan kind of... But they don't really the other stuff that this business has done.
Yeah, this is the actual sad stuff.
Yeah.
So let's close this show with a prediction. Will Trump show up at Mania?
I don't think this is actually going to happen. But New Day and a segment with Trump and Hogan.
I'm going to go with he actually does show up at Mania.
Okay.
I think that they could rig it, especially if maybe Trump brings out Hogan.
Who's get no? But you got to give the rub. Like Hogan is gonna get cheered.
Yeah. Okay. And then
Hogan brings out Trump because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said Trump brings out Hogan.
Maybe both. Maybe they come out together.
I don't know if New Day would do it if Trump's involved.
Is this how New Day quits? Is this how the New Day disbands?
Oh my God! They just gave the midnight hour to Donald Trump. Secret Service is everywhere. Oh my God, Moggle.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.